PD Pods present the PD Podscast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the PD Podscast hosted by myself, Pranay Budde from London, England. I'm very grateful to all our listeners as this week we crossed over 5,000 downloads, and I truly hope you enjoyed our last episode with Dr. Kerry Coleus from the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne. We've had a lot of positive responses, and remember you can comment, like and subscribe on all social media platforms, and we can be found on all podcast platforms including Spotify, Anchor and Apple Podcasts. Our next episode was recorded earlier this year at the Burn Hip Symposium with Dr. Jeff Nepple from St. Louis, USA. I truly hope you learn as much from him as I did with regards to the importance and developing speciality of sports medicine within the pediatric orthopedic field. Let's get into it. I'm very grateful to be sitting here with Jeff Nepple from Washington University and St. Louis Children's Hospital in St. Louis from the United States. He's currently director of the Young Athlete Center and also co-director of the Hip Preservation Center, and very big in the pediatric sports medicine world. So thank you very much for joining me, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, I'm sure your interest in sort of sports medicine stemmed from previous life experiences. So tell me about how you ended up in orthopedics.
Yeah, sure. So I think taking care of athletes is very satisfying, especially our younger athletes. As an athlete growing up, I played multiple sports and then focused a little bit more on basketball and played that in college. And as most people eventually got injured and went through treatment, and that's often kind of the first exposure to orthopedic surgery, and that was the case for me, that you kind of see these injuries and the pathway to getting back, and had a chance to observe the surgeon who took care of me, and was really an experience that really changed the direction I was heading.
And when did you decide to do medicine? Was it after that, or were you already in medical school at that time?
So I decided to do medicine kind of midway through college. I was actually a mathematics major in college, and not exactly sure which direction I was going to head. So through some of those experiences, my older brother was also going through medical school at that time, so kind of got to see some of the medical field. I grew up in a very small town in the Midwest in Iowa called Templeton, so didn't have a lot of exposure to the medical field growing up. So those experiences kind of during college is really when I switched and decided that medicine was really what I wanted to do, and sort of orthopedic surgery and sports medicine was probably the natural direction that I eventually went.
So you had to go through normal residency, which I think you did at Washington University in St. Louis, is that correct?
Yeah, so I did my medical school as well as my residency in Washington University in St. Louis.
And then when did you sort of decide, who were your mentors at that point, and where did you end up doing your fellowships? Tell me about your fellowships.
Sure, so a number of mentors in residency that kind of influenced my direction sort of in sports medicine as well as hip preservation. So John Cloese, who's now one of my current partners, was a major influence. I started working with him actually back in the late years of medical school, even before residency, on some of the hip preservation research that we still are sort of pushing forward today. Rick Wright was at that time our director of our residency and was also a major influence. So putting those interests together and kind of how it works was something that evolved over time. So I ended up with kind of a split interest between hip preservation and sports medicine. And pediatric sports medicine, I think, is a very exciting and satisfying part of the sports medicine field. So I did two fellowships, the first in adult sports medicine at in Vail, Colorado at the Stedman Philippon Research Institute, so a significant emphasis there on hip arthroscopy especially. And then I did a pediatric fellowship the following year back at Washington University, and that included a lot of hip preservation, working with Perry Schenecker and John Cloese as well as others, in addition to kind of pediatric sports and other aspects of orthopedic surgery. During that fellowship, I actually traveled a little bit for about 3 months to other pediatric sports centers to learn how they did things, visiting Min Coker in Boston Children's, Ted Yanley at CHOP. I think was really influential and kind of taught me what these big centers were doing, because I was sort of, as far as pediatric sports, sort of trying to build that from the ground up in St. Louis.
And how did you do it? So you were appointed at Washington University. How did you end up going about building pediatric sports as a unit? Because this is a specialty that didn't really exist, 15, 20 years ago, and now it does thoroughly around the U.S. at least. How did you set it all up?
Yeah, I think pediatric sports is really an interesting story in the U.S. that 20 years ago didn't exist outside of maybe Boston, and now most major centers have someone who really focuses on pediatric sports, so it's been a significant evolution. So in St. Louis, we had some people doing some pediatric sports, but not really as a focus. And so when I got back to St. Louis starting my practice, that was really one of my major pushes to put together a team of people who provide comprehensive care of the young athlete, and that's not only from the injury side that we think about in surgery, but also injury prevention and building the outreach efforts that we were doing in St. Louis. So I formed the Young Athlete Center, what we call it in St. Louis. It's a joint effort between the School of Medicine and the hospitals, and it's really been a nice thing that's grown a lot over the last 5 or 6 years with the recruitment of additional providers and expansion of our research efforts. And I think we have put together a more seamless team of individuals all working together for a common goal that in the past maybe hadn't been as engaged.
Why do you think sports medicine itself is so important to have for the pediatric community? Because, you know, we know that ACL ruptures have dramatically increased in adolescents, especially in females. So why do you think kids are getting more sports injuries these days?
Yeah, I think when we look at it, especially in the U.S., we see very high levels of single sport specialization at very young ages. So in St. Louis, soccer is the craze, and often people are committed to year-round soccer at a very young age. Compared to 20 years ago, we see much higher rates of female involvement in sports too. So they now have the same injuries that maybe used to be more male predominant. So just the numbers overall, I think, have continued to increase. And you mean for pediatric sports, a lot of it tends to be the smaller injuries, overuse things that similarly can be prevented. So it's really, really a population that seems to have grown dramatically in the U.S. And from the other standpoint, I think there's from a pediatric standpoint, there's a great role for pediatric sports in taking care of these patients that they can certainly, in many cases, be taken care of in the adult settings. But I think for the patients and for the families, there are advantages to having your care in a pediatric environment, like they get if they break a bone or those kind of things. That a pediatric experience, if you're going through something big like an ACL tear at a young age, I think has some significant value to the satisfaction with the care that you receive in a pediatric environment compared to an adult environment.
And so what does your clinical practice currently entail? What would you averagely see in clinic? Are you seeing just lower limb stuff, or are you also seeing upper limb elbow injuries? And then what do you end up typically having on your operating lists?
Yeah, so my surgical practice is about evenly split between a pediatric sports, which tends to have a knee predominance for surgical conditions, but some upper extremity stuff as well. And then hip preservation. Hip preservation, I think, has an interesting place in pediatric sports medicine as well, that the common things we think about with impingement and hip dysplasia aren't very common until you get to the maybe 12 years of age or above. So my hip preservation practice spans from that sort of 12-year age up until whatever age, basically, as long as it's a hip preservation problem, that the joint is not arthritic. So I have a practice that has very young patients as well as sometimes very old patients. In clinic, I see all these patients sort of in a similar setting. I also have some dedicated adult time, but basically seeing anything as far as initial complaints in that pediatric sports setting.
And for you, in your sort of post-operative management, let's say your knee injuries, how important is physiotherapy pre and post-op? And what can we be doing to sort of prevent these injuries from happening in young athletes?
Yeah, so I think in the especially as you get into the very young athlete, physical therapy is really critical that they don't have the same understanding. It's really critical for the therapist to understand the kids and get them engaged. That I think kids are in general more worried about things. They don't really understand what's going on. So physical therapy absolutely critical as you get into the ACLs, maybe 12 years of age or below, to avoid complications with stiffness and things. Fortunately, our younger patients are also a little less prone to those issues, so they get away with maybe a little bit of that in the end. When we think about injury prevention, I think there are a number of strategies out there. Probably the most evidence-based one would be ACL prevention. I think the we've utilized in St. Louis the FIFA 11 Plus program has nice science from across the world for decades of investigation. It's a free program, relatively easy to integrate. So that's what our team of physical therapists, and now as we've grown, that includes many athletic trainers, have utilized to try to get these programs out. At least in St. Louis, we haven't seen a lot of previous adoption of these things that seem to prevent these major injuries, seem to definitely prevent some of the smaller injuries, and may even have performance enhancements as far as the developing athlete and their athletic activities. So I think that's a great example of sort of a multimodal program that can really influence things. I think too often we're focusing on the high school age athlete and beyond, when really if we are going to teach kids to move in proper ways, these programs at a younger age probably are actually even more important to encourage their proper neuromuscular development.
In addition to your clinical practice, I believe you're also a team doctor for St. Louis Blues and the U.S. Olympic ski team. Is that right?
Yeah, I've helped on some of those in the past. So we, in fellowship, had the enjoyment of working with the Olympic ski team. So we traveled with the Olympic ski team during that, and it's a good experience to sort of see athletes at the elite level. I've helped some with the St. Louis Blues over the years, in addition to their main physicians at our institution covering games and things from time to time. So I think a nice spectrum to take care of athletes from the elite professional level down to the athletes in pediatric sports. I think we are much more ingrained in the high schools and the high school sports coverage and dealing with those athletes. So I have a high school that I cover where my kids go to school and things. So it's a great situation to take care of injured athletes, but also hopefully help them to be thinking about injury prevention and all those things. To often the administrators, athletic directors, coaches are so busy with things, they might not be on the cutting edge for injury prevention. So it's a great thing to be making sure they're up to date on.
And one thing I really wanted to talk to you about was your concerted effort in research, because you've really driven forward research in this area. And there's multiple things we're going to be talking about, but we'll start off with the ANCHOR Group, which is the Academic Network for Conservational Hip Outcomes Research. It was formed, I think, over 12, 13 years ago now. But how did you get involved? What are the goals of it? And how have you managed to, publish and look at so many different projects with them?
Yeah, I think multi-center research is really in a critical spot in orthopedic surgery. We've seen that in St. Louis with the Moon and Mars groups and ACL research, that they've really taken multi-center research as a way to really advance our evidence base and perform critical studies, and that's where Anchor came from. So John Cloese, one of my mentors at WashU, formed this group many years ago, and it's slowly grown over time. It was probably 10 or 12 surgeons for a long time, and then eventually is nearly 30 surgeons now. I had the opportunity to be involved with Anchors in some of reliability studies that they performed early on when I was a resident, as far as x-ray reliability of analysis of the hip, as well as arthroscopic classification of disease. So through those early experiences, it really taught me a lot about the infrastructure and how research is done in a multi-center study setting. And we've as a group have enrolled over 3,000 patients, I think, now across dysplasia as well as FAI surgery and sort of initial studies that continue to teach us a lot. Multi-center studies are challenging, though. By the time you finish one, the field's changed, and we realize that FAI surgery's changed a lot compared to 10 years ago. So we're just have launched a new study investigating sort of modern FAI surgery, some of the things we didn't realize in the past. Three-dimensional imaging with low-dose CT, I think, is a much more routinely utilized thing. So this upcoming study sequence will hopefully answer questions in a consolidated window over a year and a half of enrollment, compared to maybe studies in the past that took us 5 or 6 years. So we're really looking at FAI surgery, as well as the other main area that I've looked a lot is borderline hip dysplasia. Perhaps the biggest controversy right now in the hip preservation field is which hips should we be treating with arthroscopy alone, which would be more ideally suited for a periastabular osteotomy. I think in St. Louis, John's had a great history of sort of comprehensive hip care, from hip arthroscopy to open hip surgery, dislocations, PAOs, and coming from that environment, I think, puts you in a unique place to kind of look at both aspects of the field. And I've really followed that in the development of my skills in the OR, and I think it gives you good perspective on some of the critical questions where you sort of have 5 or 10 years ago, two different camps that didn't really interact, and nowadays in hip preservation, I think we've all sort of come to the middle and are really trying to figure out which patients do best with which surgery, and really advancing the science of hip preservation.
And I had the honor to come and see you guys last year in St. Louis, and I was just in awe at the number of people that you are supported and surrounded by to do your research. So who's involved in your research team, and how important is it to be involved in research as a sort of resident or a fellow?
Yeah, I think it really takes a team to do high-level research, from the research staff and coordinators who oversee these things and make sure they flow seamlessly. They are helping us to follow our patients. Those kind of things are really critical, from lessons learned in Anchor as well as in Moon and Mars at our institution, to do the research the right way and to be productive. We've got great resources in St. Louis as far as involvement of great trainees, our fellows, our residents, and medical students. I think we have a nice group of them engaged in different projects, and it's really makes for a team-based approach that John's built there over the years.
And obviously, this is a growing field and a very under-researched area in pediatric sports. Where do you think we're heading with regards to pediatric sports? Are there now designated training programs and fellowships helping train the next generation of pediatric sports surgeons? And where do you think the novel surgeries or technologies are going to take us?
Yeah, I think pediatric sports is, I think, become increasingly integrated into pediatric fellowships. That I think it used to be a couple of fellowships out there, at least in the United States. covered the sports side of a pediatrics practice, and that's become, I think, much better over time, so that I think you can definitely do a pediatrics fellowship and get good training in pediatric sports. I think nowadays residents come out of residency in general with pretty good skills as far as arthroscopy in the basics down for adult sports medicine, in that through a pediatrics fellowship, I think structured in the right way, they can really take that to the next level and make pediatric sports part of what they do. I think the challenge nowadays in pediatrics fellowships is there's so much subspecialization, that there's so many different things to focus on, that most fellows in general aren't going to sort of adopt them all into their practice, so they sort of have to spend some extra time focusing on during their fellowship those things that they want to sort of put in their toolbox. In the U.S., one of the challenges is you may not know what those tools need to be until you sort of figure out your job and those kind of things. But I think pediatric sports under the realm of a pediatric fellowship is a good pathway that our fellows going out into practice can take great care of patients as part of a pediatric, more general pediatric practice, if that's what they want to do.
And well, let's move on to PRISM, which is the Pediatric Research and Sports Medicine. There's now an annual conference, I believe, and you're the sort of chair of the research committee and a board member. Who put it together? What are the goals of it? And do you see it really becoming a force like ANCHOR, helping direct increase of attention and research to the field?
Yeah, I think PRISM is a great story and really reflects how big pediatric sports is now in the U.S. So Hank Chambers from San Diego is really the pioneer behind this thought of bringing people together to put them in a place where they can do research together and advance our field. So this group has really taken off. I think the initial first meeting 6 or 7 years ago was 50 to 75 people, somewhat haphazardly thrown together. We just had an annual meeting this year in Phoenix, and it was over 600 or 700 people. So tremendous growth, and the model's been great. So I've been involved in the research committee that, at the end of the day, PRISM isn't just a meeting. It's they're trying to foster a year-long process of research. So putting people together in these research interest groups. So I think there's 16 or 17 different topics in pediatric sports, from hip, for example, that I'm involved in, to meniscus issues, concussion, rehabilitation, injury prevention. So lots of different key topics, and putting people that are like-minded together and may not have a ton of collaborators at their institution, because in general, most pediatric sports practices are a relatively small part of the overall picture of orthopedics at their institution, but putting them together to foster research has been a great model that's, I think, been really emphasized through PRISM and continues to grow. So I think it's exciting to see how that's changed over the years, and I think it's a pathway that will continue. PRISM's done a very good job not just involving surgeons like myself, but we have a lot of non-operative providers who see a lot of these patients as well, have research interest, physical therapists, athletic trainers. So it really brings people together in a multidisciplinary approach to things.
And where do you feel pediatric sports medicine is going to be in 15, 20 years?
Yeah, so I think pediatric sports will continue to grow, probably not at the rate we've seen it in the last 10 or 20 years, but will continue to be a major force in the care of these athletes. I suspect more and more of this younger athletic group will be treated by pediatric sports providers than maybe adult sports providers, as more and more presence within the community. So I think pediatric sports is definitely here to stay, and I think the research and things that we can do to figure out what are the best ways to take care of these athletes surgically, what are the best ways to avoid injuries in the first place, are really where the field's going.
And we'll go off to something completely different now. If you weren't a doctor, what would you have done in your life?
That's a good question. I think I'd probably still be involved in sports in some degree, like a coach, probably, and a teacher or something like that. I think the younger athletic population is such a great group to be around and to teach and see them achieve what they want to, that I think that's probably the route I would have gone.
And outside of work and research and everything that you're involved in, what do you do to sort of relax and chill out these days?
Yeah, those are always good times to decompress. My wife Sarah and I have three children, so three girls, Hannah, Lily, and Emily, who are now 11, 8, and 4, so they keep us busy with whatever they want to do, from sports to outside being active and those kind of things. So it's been a lot of fun to see them develop over the years, but definitely our free time is family time to try to catch up on things and enjoy what the kids are up to.
Yeah, perfect. And on that note, I think I'll let you back to enjoy your own time whilst we're here together in Bern. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me, and I look forward to seeing you again in the future.
Thank you.